A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do.
It's a sunny day. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Finally, some nice warm weather for gardeners. I'm Maria Chalaos, along with Tom Bettis. We are at J&J Garden Center this morning, where we're getting ready for Mother's Day. Andy Stevenson is also with us from J&J. Tom, you want to talk about Mother's Day? It's all about Mother's Day today, and really, you were saying, really, roses usually are the most popular thing for moms.
When I worked full-time, one of the biggest in the spring, it's always, you know, there's lots of shoppers, and so you're busy from open to close. But at the week before Mother's Day, the two Saturdays before Mother's Day, the roses just went crazy. I mean, you'd sell hundreds of them every day. And it just seemed like for especially the moms and just women in general that enjoy gardening, that those roses were just especially special. And they were just a super popular, relatively inexpensive gift that could be enjoyed for years.
Right. Andy, I'm going to involve you here, too. There are just lots of different varieties, lots of different types of roses that you can buy for your mom.
Yeah, absolutely right. We just got two full semi-loads in Monday.
Oh, my.
They unloaded them Monday and started getting them out on display, and it's fully stocked. And this year, they are gorgeous. They're in bloom. They're budding up. I couldn't even tell you how many varieties. There is a lot.
Right, Tom, there are a lot of different kinds of roses you can buy.
There are. And we could spend an entire show just talking about all the different kinds of roses. But 80% of the time that you buy a rose for somebody, a bush, it's going to be what's called a hybrid tea. And what that will do is give you the long stem roses that you find in floral displays. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be the bulk of the market. But there's many other kinds of beautiful roses. And so what I sat down for 15 minutes yesterday and just kind of wrote down some of my favorite roses. And these are going to be quite common and hopefully readily available. But they're all roses that I know do well locally, because I've grown a lot of them or had friends, or my grandfather was a rosarian, and these are just a combination of picks.
Which
and
is so, great, because you want to make sure they're going to do well here in Utah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, for hybrid tea, I think Mr. Lincoln is just the classic red rose. It's an old variety, but it does really well. And then there's another one quite similar in look called Chrysler Imperial, and then Peace, Rio Samba, and Double Delight. All of these hybrid teas, I have been grown here for years. Most of these are actually one-time All-American Roses of the Year, and so that just means that they'll do well across the country. So the one other one I wanted to talk about is a series that has been introduced over the last 20 years called Knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And these are from a European company who's one of the premier rose breeding families in the world. But these Knockout roses are bush roses, and they can get anywhere from 3 feet to 6 feet, depending on the variety. But all you need to do is give them a light haircut, and they bloom like mad the entire season, and they've bred to be disease resistant. So,
which is why they're called
really,
knockouts,
yes,
right?
They're really low maintenance, but they're the best-selling roses in the country right now because they're so adaptable to so many different places.
Right. Let's make a distinction, because a lot of times people for Mother's Day or for other occasions buy the tiny mini roses, which are beautiful, but don't do so well in your yard.
They are not meant to really be perennial. Now, if you get them in a spot, especially if you can cover them with a little bit of straw or protect them, they will overwinter. But these mini roses are grown as floral displays. And there's a few out there that do better, but you generally don't see these knockout roses being something that's going to last for 20 years in your yard.
Right. You have to really think about that when you're buying something for mom. Is it something that you just want mom to have that instant gratification?
Yeah.
Those little roses are going to last for a couple months.
You consider
or do
them
you want that long-term?
Yeah, a longer-term recyclable floral display is in essence what they are. And so I'll probably bring some roses home myself today, but it's just one of those things. I think for, at least for me personally, and with my retail experience, those roses right now are just a really hot ticket. And Andy, with the condition of the nurseries and everything right now, now is the best time to do it, because another month or 6 weeks, I just don't think they'll be available.
No, and that's exactly right. You kind of get this big shipment in, and we try to get, trickle some in, but we get, like I said, these two big shipments, and then we just try to work through those. We bring them in late. I mean, we've had people asking for a long time for them. But we try to bring them in when kind of that frost, that hard frost is going to be over with, because they can be a little bit tender right out of the gate. And so anyways, we've got them in here now, and hundreds of varieties from, bush form. We've got tree form, all sizes, all colors.
Anything new in the rose world?
They always seem like they try to introduce something out there, different names. But like Ton said, there's hundreds of varieties.
Every year, there's companies that will grow 10,000, 20,000 rose seedlings and just watch them. And over a period of 2 years, they'll cull the ones they don't like. And so when you get a new rose introduced, it's really literally 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 20,000 mm-hmm. that ever make it to market. And usually within 10 to 15 years, unless they're just wildly popular, they're off the market that fast. And so it's one of those things that what was popular 20 or 25 years ago and the new varieties and latest and greatest 50% of the time won't be available. And it's those All-American Rose selections and just other tried and true classics that make it through. So it's really hard to say, like this knockout series, there's another series called Mediland. Modern English Roses by a gentleman in England named David Austin mimic the Victorian roses, but they're repeat bloomers and disease-resistant, cold-hardy. So these are some of the latest series, but even among them, every year there's lots of new introductions.
Right. How long is a rose bush expected to live in your yard?
Anywhere from 5 to 20 years, depending on the particular variety. Some of the more disease-resistant ones that are a little more cold-hardy, like Double Delight, you can easily get 15 to 20 years. But, for whatever reason, it seems like the white roses don't last quite as long if they are a pure white blossom. And so a lot of it is dictated by the particular variety and disease resistance. And so one of the things I do when I shop is I just quickly Google the name of the particular rose, and it will quickly tell you cold hardiness and disease resistance.
Right. It's interesting to note that the newer varieties are more disease resistant.
They are. And they've really started to shift back toward putting them on their own roots. One of the biggest problems with roses was that you constantly had to keep the roots clipped back because they'd send up suckers. And so the suckers coming from the roots, and they would take over the rose plant if you weren't out there at least every 2 or 3 weeks cutting those suckers back. But just through modern breeding, we're finding that a lot of modern roses are disease resistant enough and vigorous enough that they can be left on their own roots, and you don't run into that problem of them being having those suckers come up, and it's just a little easier to grow them.
Right. And we are at J&J Garden Center this morning. All of the information on the roses that Ton has been talking about, you can find on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Andy, it's so great to be here for Mother's Day. It's I can see a lot of people are out shopping for their mom this morning. Got the geraniums coming in. You've got some special buys for folks.
Yeah, so geraniums are 20% off. It's the 4.5-inch size. And I will tell you, these things are gorgeous.
They're big for 4 inches.
And we're stocking out front right now. Not only out front, we've got a whole greenhouse devoted. Well, actually, two greenhouses devoted to these. We've got, I believe, over 40,000 of these 4.5-inch seed geraniums, and they're just phenomenal.
Beautiful
this
colors.
Year. All colors. I bet there's probably over a dozen different colors. They're in bloom, so you can see what they actually look like. Those are 20% off, and then also all our hanging baskets are all our big 12-inch size combination baskets, whether it's a combination or a New Guinea impatient or a geranium basket or ivy geraniums, fuchsias, got a good supply, and they're all 20% off as well.
And it's finally warm enough you could actually put them outside, not take care of them inside.
Yeah, and the nice thing about a basket is it's portable. You could, if it looks like you're going to get a cold night, go stick it in the garage and then bring it back out.
Much easier than anything you plant in the yard, right?
Yeah, it's a little hard to rip out a rose.
But roses, roses, they'll take the cold, right?
Yeah, they'll take some cold for sure. But yeah, all this stuff it's ready. Spring is certainly in the air. People are ready to get out. They've been cooped up way too long, and it's time to get their hands in the dirt.
Right. Special hours for Mother's Day? Or?
Right now we're 8 to 8.
That's
which
special.
Means 7 to 9.
And people know. When I pulled in this morning, there were several cars. They know exactly when you open.
I thought there was a detour in the street, somebody mentioned.
It was a line at 8 o'clock. That was awesome.
But it's good. We've got a lot of space here to spread out, too. I know people have been worried, about social distancing and mask wearing and stuff like that. I think everybody's trying to do their part.
Right. Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having us this morning for the Mother's Day sale. Again, we are at J&J Garden Center. We're going to take a break. Taking your calls when we come back, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We have travelers today who are going to run into problems. I-80 westbound is closed this morning at 7th East. This is on the east side. Again, closed westbound at 7th East all the way to I-15. So you're going to have to take a detour there at 7th East. You're going to want to make arrangements to do that. As 7th East gets pretty busy, you may want to pull off at 13th East this morning. And again, that closure is going to be there. It's going to be in place probably throughout the Greenhouse Show this morning. Thank you for joining us. One of our first listeners wants to talk about roses and wants to know how to keep aphids off of roses, Ton.
Well, some varieties are going to be more attractive than others, and one thing you can look at is, say you've had a particular variety that's always had aphids on it. When you're ready to replace it, maybe try a different one. In the spring, aphids commonly get on a lot of different things, and you can try just a stiff stream of water. And the aphids may quickly recover, but that will give ladybugs and lacewings and other beneficial insects time to catch up. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, then horticultural soap or horticultural oil, which are also fairly low risk and protects beneficial insects, but the soaps and oils are both really effective, and you spray those maybe every 3 to 5 days depending on how quickly those aphids recover, but eventually lacewings and ladybugs will catch up and keep them at bay.
Our next listener has a 13-foot Schumard oak that is kind of growing at an angle. What do you think's happening there?
Well, it could be a couple things. It may not be anchored well in the soil. It could be in a really windy area. I'm sure that the eventual question is can I straighten the trunk? And right now, they could maybe stake it to try to pull it back a bit. But
they did that last year. Should they be worried about it, though?
Sometimes oaks can just get a little bit, I don't know why, but they grow a little bit skiwampa sometimes. And it might be something that some pictures over to their local extension office to get a better idea of what it's doing. Because there's a slight possibility they could have a flat-headed borer in it that's mm-hmm. causing new growth to flag over a little bit and not grow straight. And so there's so many things that could be going on that I hesitate to really say what to do
advice,
about it.
Right?
It is.
They shouldn't be worried about it, though.
Well,
necessarily.
Not necessarily. If it's healthy and just growing a little sideways, branches will grow, and as the tree gets big, it won't be noticeable. But if it's right now and the main leader all of a sudden is bending over 30 degrees, then we may need to try to figure out why.
All right. First caller in is Becky in Pleasant Grove. Good morning, Becky.
Hi. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Great. So we were thinking about planting a laurel as a hedge, and we need it to be at least 8 feet, maybe 9 feet high. It's kind of to go in between two houses. So that we can just have some privacy. And we wanted something that was evergreen and fast-growing. But it does get sun, you know, there's nothing to block the sun except for the houses. What do you think, if there's a specific kind of laurel that might be good or something different?
Let me ask, when the sun's hitting the area, is it the morning or afternoon?
Well, it would be afternoon. I think there's about 20 feet in between our two homes, and then we have a fence, and I just wanted to put it right along the fence to kind of give some more height.
In the winter, would the slope of the sun, because it's lower in the sky, provide afternoon shade to those laurels during the winter?
Yes.
Okay, as long as you've got winter afternoon shade, just the regular English laurel, not a dwarf, but regular English laurel would be one.
Okay.
There's another one called Skipka, and it's spelled a little funny, S-C-H-I-P-K-A, Skipka laurel.
Okay.
Would be another one, and then a different species you could look at would be Fraser's photinia. That one's not quite as hardy, but if you're on a bench area, it would do fine, and it's going to grow faster than the English laurel.
Okay. What about just the common laurel?
Well, the just English laurel would be what we call common laurel, but what we have here in the United States are all cultivars or varieties. None of them are just seed-grown common laurel. And
okay.
So straight English laurel is going to be the straightest, like the closest to the species we can get. So straight English laurel or the Skipka are going to be the two.
So are either one of those don't have a lot of the white flowers? Because I wanted something that kind of had a big leaf and shiny and glossy.
You're trying to deny their genetics.
Oh.
Okay.
So only way to prevent that is to give them a haircut sometime in late June. That would cut the flower buds off.
Okay.
And then, but you would reduce your size down a little bit.
So maybe I was thinking it was not a laurel, maybe a euonymus. Is there a euonymus that doesn't look
straight Japanese
evergreen?
Euonymus will get that tall and grow fairly fast.
Okay.
So, but it has some flowers on it. It's not as showy, but it will still get some flowers. Now,
will it
the
grow
Japanese,
that tall?
Will definitely. The Japanese euonymus are deer candy, and so if you have deer problems, you're going to need to exclude the deer.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Thanks for the help. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for your call. The great thing about euonymus is they stay green all year.
They do. The laurels, the photinias, the euonymus are all our go-to broadleaf evergreen plants that we oftentimes put in those shaded areas.
Right. The KSL Greenhouse this morning coming to you from J&J Garden Center, where the Mother's Day sale is underway. And today's lawn care tip is sponsored by Biograss.
What's up, KSL Greenhouse listeners? Clark Bell of Biograss here with your lawn and garden tip for Saturday, May 1st. Now is the time to incorporate bark or mulch into your landscape garden beds. We all know that our desert climate aids in weeds and hot landscape conditions. Adding a mulch bark will prevent weeds to grow up through your landscape garden areas. You only need to incorporate 1 to 2 inches to get this weed barrier and to cool your soils. Biorass has been delivering our dark forest and natural forest mulch to thousands of homes in Utah for 16 years. Made of ponderosa pine and Douglas fir to give you a beautiful aesthetic, a weed barrier, and a cooler root zone for the 2021 season. To get more lawn and garden tips and to view our award-winning products, visit biograss.com or come see us at 9980 South State Street in Sandy. That's biograss.com. Biograss is the science of great sod and soil.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.